Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. As of the recording of this program, Bernie Sanders has tied with Buttigieg in the Iowa primary. He won the New Hampshire primary with 25.7% of the votes, 76,000 votes. Buttigieg was close behind with 24.4%. In Nevada, Sanders won 47%, Biden 20%, Buttigieg 14%. Sanders received more than twice the votes of the second leading candidate. How Bernie does in the upcoming other primaries is anyone's guess. But even if he loses, he is receiving a large percentage of votes, and that's a scary thing. Because Bernie Sanders is a hardcore communist. He has a well-documented track record of supporting the communist ideology. Back in the 1970s, Sanders tried to make a living making documentaries. One project was a positive documentary on Eugene Debs, a political leader in the 1920s, who tried to bring communism to America. Debs was regarded by the Bolsheviks in Russia as America's greatest Marxist. So you see where Bernie Sanders is ideologically. As mayor of Burlington, Vermont, Sanders took several goodwill trips to the USSR. With his second wife, they honeymooned in Moscow. He adopted a Soviet sister city outside of Moscow for the city of Burlington. And Sanders had a Soviet flag flying in his office. In 1985, he traveled to Nicaragua to celebrate with the communist Sandinista government the sixth anniversary of their revolution. So you say, well, wait a minute. He's not a communist. He is a socialist. But do we even know the difference? In Wikipedia, socialism is defined as a political, social, economic philosophy encompassing a range of economic and social systems characterized by social ownership of the means of production. Then you go over to the page on communism. Communism is a philosophical, social, political, economic ideology and movement whose ultimate goal is the common ownership of the means of production. They're the same thing. In fact, Karl Marx, the founder of communism, used the term socialism to refer to his philosophy. Because at the end of the 19th century, communism became an outdated term. Later communists in the 20th century used the term socialist to refer to this transitional stage between capitalism and communism. And since the term communism scared people off, all European communists called themselves socialists. And just about all communists today refer to themselves as socialists. Furthermore, let's not forget that the Nazi Party in Germany was an abbreviation for the National Socialist Workers' Party. Socialism has the same philosophical underpinnings as communism. It's this belief that individuals should not own property or businesses because allegedly that results in inequality and oppression. Therefore, property and businesses should be owned by the group, the society. And we know what that means. Owned by the government, because the government represents the society. So let me read to you from my handy-dandy copy of the Communist Manifesto that I keep on my shelf, just to remind myself that there is evil in this world. Quote, "In one word, you reproach us, the communists, with intending to do away with your property. Precisely so. That is just what we intend. But you say then, individuality vanishes. You must therefore confess that by individual, you mean no other persons than the bourgeois, than the middle class owner of property. This person must indeed be swept out of the way and made impossible," unquote, Communist Manifesto. In other words, no one should be able to run his own business, earn profits, hire workers. Businesses and property must be owned by the state. What we call in Christianity property rights. Creating businesses and work that provides profit for oneself and work and profit for others, the communists call exploitation. They hate individualism. They hate another person earning one more cent than they earn. And they hate persons having more power or influence than they have. As Congresswoman AOC said in the recent interview about Jeff Bezos, the founder and CEO of Amazon, she said, "No one ever makes $1 billion. You take $1 billion. They make it off of the backs of others. To be ethical, if you're a billionaire today, the thing you need to do is give up control and power. I don't want your money as much as we want your power." So it's no surprise that AOC is supporting and campaigning with Bernie Sanders for Bernie Sanders' presidency. George Orwell, in his novel 1984, the main character asks, why does Big Brother do what it does? And the answer finally comes, the party seeks power entirely for its own sake. We're not interested in the good of others, we're interested solely in power. So in communism, rather than the individual having the power and the influence and control, all power must be given to the state. So it's no wonder that no one has ever been caught swimming from Florida to Cuba. The communists are the workers in the vineyard in Matthew 21 who say, let us kill the heir and seize the inheritance, because they believe what belongs to the owner should belong to them. They are the Philistines in Genesis chapter 26 who became envious of Isaac because Isaac was blessed of God and became rich. Where is it written that it's unjust for God to give different people different talents, different calling, different resources, different blessings? Where is that unjust in God's economy? Well, in God's word, each man will receive a reward for his own work. Galatians 6:4, but each one must examine his own work, then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to another. And while communists purport to be all about freedom and justice, it's actually slavery. It's more of a system of slavery than capitalism could ever be. Marvin Olasky with World Magazine had a great editorial a while back describing why communism, this idea that everything needs to be equal and everything needs to be shared, always, always results in tyranny and a population of slave citizens. It's why Venezuela, a formerly rich country, having adopted socialism, is now a country in abject poverty. The poor are not equal with the wealthy. They're not even equal with the middle class. The poor actually become poorer. Because socialism is actually slavery. And slavery is a terrible economic system. It always results in poverty. In socialism, the entire state becomes a slave plantation. And for all of the talk on the left against slavery, their ideology is actually slavery. So here's the example that Olasky uses to help the average person understand this. He writes, in a free market economy, the baker gets up early so he can make and sell tasty bread to feed his family. But in socialism, his family will eat crust whether he gets up early or not. So he's likely to roll over and go back to sleep. What then will the master of society do? Well, in today's parlance, first he sends a text message. Going back to sleep is wrong. The baker ignores it. Next step, give the baker a phone that sounds a blaring wake up at 4 a.m., but the baker turns it off. Next, send a loudspeaker he can't turn off, but the baker finds a way to cut the cord. Finally, the master sends a soldier to rouse the baker, marches him to the bakery, and shoots him if he resists. That is the history of socialism. The worker must be forced to work because the profits don't go to him. They go to somebody else. They go to the owner of the plantation, the state, which may dole out some of the profits just enough to keep the worker alive. And that's the definition of slavery. Communism is unjust because people are not allowed to keep the labor of their hands and their mind. Communism, socialism is slavery. And again, this is identical to the plantations of the 19th century, where you have the plantation owner who makes and takes your work, and you have the taskmaster with the whip. The worker is denied the labor of his hands, the very thing that the communists complain about in capitalism. So Alesky goes on in this piece to share the philosophy of George Fitzhugh, an American social theorist in the 1850s. Fitzhugh argued that Negroes were children who needed the economic and social protections of slavery. He then carried that same thought over into the larger society, saying that all people need socialism and Big Brother government. In his work, Centralization and Socialism, Fitzhugh wrote, "Our animal nature inclines us towards socialism. Modern improvements are creating unequal distribution of wealth," which actually has been debunked. But Fitzhugh proposes a solution here. Hold all properties in common and divide the profits not according to each man's input and labor, but according to each man's want. So Marvin Olasky asks, does that sound appealing? Well, congratulations, you have just applauded a major defender of slavery. Fitzhugh wrote in Sociology for the South in 1854 that, to be honest, socialism is seeking to bring about slavery again. But this is the socialism that Fitzhugh was all for. Fitzhugh wrote, "It is the duty of society to protect the weak, but protection cannot be efficient without the power of control. Therefore, it is the duty of society to enslave the weak." And that's socialism in a nutshell. Slavery. You know, it's no coincidence that Marx and Engels and the Communist Party were all atheists, because their system is in direct opposition to the economic law of God. It's a denial of a biblical worldview. Bernie Sanders claims to be non-religious, a humanist, but not an atheist. But few atheistic politicians ever come out of the closet. Bernie Sanders is a practical atheist. And it was actually the Hillary campaign back in 2016 that was digging up all of Sanders' atheistic comments to help ensure the nomination for Hillary. But anyway, the Democrats have a real problem with Bernie. He has strong support among the radical base in the Democratic Party, but the party leaders know that most Americans are not ready to support a socialist communist in the White House. In a Gallup poll, Democrats are most willing to support a socialist. 76% said that they would vote for a socialist. Only 45% of independents, and only 17% of Republicans. But even those numbers in favor of socialism are way too high. You know, given the nature and the history of socialism, you would think that maybe only 5% of the public would be for socialism. That was the way it was back in the 1920s when Eugene Debs ran as president 5 times under the Socialist Party. In 1900, he received 0.6% of the total vote. That's not 6%, but 0.6%. In 1904, he received 3%. In 1908, he received 2.8%. In 1912, 6%. In 1920s, 3.4%. Boy, I wish those numbers were the same today. But now that America is losing its Christian heritage, as the citizenship is further removed from biblical truth, less people go to church, fewer people attend Sunday school, and there's no biblical teaching in our public schools, political ideology is following suit. Atheistic communism and statism are now becoming popular. When they reach the critical mass of 51%, America, the land of the free, is done. But for now, it seems like the socialist platform in the Democratic Party is going to turn away enough voters to cost the Democrats the presidency, especially when the platform is represented by an old angry communist like Bernie Sanders. So, James Carville, the Democratic political strategist under Bill Clinton, in a recent news interview, unloaded on his own party, saying that the Democrats are losing their minds. Radicals in the party have driven the party to the far left. He said African-American voters are not interested in socialism and revolution. Quote, we have candidates on the debate stage talking about open borders and decriminalizing illegal immigration. They're talking about doing away with nuclear energy and fracking. You've got Bernie Sanders talking about letting criminals and terrorists vote from jail cells. It doesn't matter what you think about any of that, or if there are good arguments. Talking about that is not how you win national elections. So what's scary about Carville's comments is that he's not so much against those positions. He's more against the Democratic Party letting the cat out of the bag and letting people know their true positions. See, the politically smart thing to do is to move a country gradually towards socialism, to keep silent and lie about your political agenda until after you get elected. Well, at least the good news here is that in the providence of God, these radicals are coming out of the closet. But the bad news is they can do this because there is an increasingly large number of people in the American public that want this kind of globalism, communism, statism. In the Democratic debate in New Hampshire, George Stephanopoulos asked all the candidates, is anyone else on stage concerned about having a Democratic socialist at the top of the Democratic ticket? Now, the question wasn't who is a socialist and who isn't. It was just about the optics of it. But the question really showed where all the candidates were at ideologically. Only Amy Klobuchar and Tom Steyer raised their hands in objection. The rest of the candidates, Bernie, Sanders, Biden, Yang, Warren, Buttigieg, whose father was a communist professor, all support socialism. So here's the topic I really want to discuss. Why do so many people love Bernie, or rather communism, socialism? Why is there an increasing number of Americans who want socialism? Why do college students and millennials want socialism? Is it the free stuff they want? Is it the security they want? I touched on this earlier. It's the greed and the envy of Matthew 21 and Genesis 26. Communism is truly the political philosophy of thieves and freeloaders and the envious. It is the philosophy of the takers, not the givers. We know the famous words of Winston Churchill, who said, socialism is a philosophy of failure, a creed of ignorance, and the gospel of envy. Its inherent virtue is the equal sharing of misery. In other words, if I cannot be equal with others, I would rather that no one have anything. I would rather that everyone is miserable. I would rather everyone be poor than someone have more. Now, of course, socialist communists would vehemently object to that description of their ideology because they insist that their political philosophy is all about love and charity. But what exposes their philosophy as really being about envy is that these proponents of communism are not simply encouraging financially well-off people to be charitable. These proponents are claiming people should not have property rights, that their property needs to be taken from them. And that's a whole different position than just charity for the weak and the poor. Congresswoman AOC was not asking Jeff Bezos of Amazon just to be charitable. She was saying it's unjust for him to own Amazon, that private businesses and ownership must be eliminated. Remember in the Communist Manifesto, the middle class owner of property must be swept out of the way and made impossible. This is the claim that Boaz in the Old Testament shouldn't have merely given the corners of his field to the poor to glean, but that he shouldn't have owned his farm in the first place because he doesn't have a right to own anything. And rather than everyone owning a farm, nobody is supposed to own a farm. You know, it'd be one thing if AOC was saying everyone should be able to start their own Amazon or their own Microsoft or their own Ford company. We need more opportunity. We need more competition in the marketplace. But no, she is saying no one but the state should own businesses. So communism is not about charity for the poor. It's about envy. It's about resentment. It's about retaliation against successful people. It's envy being sold as a virtue. As I heard a commentator the other day say, Bernie's campaign runs on envy, just like Karl Marx and the Bolsheviks. Now, yes, there are many people who are deceived by communism, but the question is, why are they so easily deceived? Because they're influenced by their envy. In our fallen sinful condition, it's very easy to justify our sinful attitudes. For instance, people are deceived by abortion, but why are they so willing to believe that a fetus is not alive? Because they're influenced in their judgment by their selfishness. This is why we read in Proverbs 28:5, evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand all things. Evil within distorts our view of justice. So communism is not a vice of ignorance. It is a vice of envy and greed. And the reason people love Bernie is because covetousness is endemic in the human heart. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 7, that which proceeds out of a man, that is what defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adultery, deeds of covetousness. And Romans chapter 7, verse 8, but sin, taken occasion through the commandment, produced in me coveting of every kind. And so we have the eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal, and we have the tenth commandment. Exodus 20:17, you shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Implied here is thou shalt not covet even if your neighbor has more than you do. Here's a great example of the condition of depraved humanity. Jacob had 12 sons. One son, Joseph, was righteous, and hence he received a special gift from the father, a coat of many colors. And his brothers couldn't tolerate this. They couldn't tolerate even any prophecy that Joseph would someday have authority and power over them. Genesis 37:4, they hated him and could not speak to him on friendly terms. Genesis 37:11, his brothers were jealous of him. So Genesis 37:18, they plotted against him to put him to death. Now think about this. What kind of brothers would murder one of their own just because he was a better man and had more stuff? Rather than changing their own ways, working and being successful themselves, it was easier and more satisfying for them to murder the one who had more. And that's pure evil. That's communism. But notice the odds here. It was 10 brothers to 1. 7% for capitalism, 93% for communistic egalitarianism. So much so that they would murder to achieve equality with their brother. The surprise is not that 20, 30, 40, 50% of the American public is now leaning toward communism. The surprise is that it is not already at 93%. Because the natural tendency of unregenerate mankind is to use violence to take the property of others. Like the Sabaeans and the Chaldeans in Job chapter 1, who killed Job's servants and took his stuff. James O'Keefe and his Veritas organization caught undercover videos of Sanders campaign workers talking about massive wealth confiscation by force and talking about putting people into gulags. People are by nature greedy, envious, thieves at heart. Most would never think of breaking into their neighbor's house and stealing their stuff, but they will adopt a political ideology that will allow the government to do it for them. There is just a large percentage of people who are unprincipled, and they will vote for free stuff. And in their sin, they will see their greed and their envy as a virtue. They will create political philosophies to justify their greed. They will tell themselves they're virtuous even as they pick your pocket. Here's a telling example. In a recent survey in Russia, 51% of the population say that they still respect and admire Joseph Stalin. Now, this is the man who killed millions of Russians in labor camps. Why do they say this? Well, because they identify with Stalin's spirit, with the control, with the anger, with the hatred. They identify with the powerful state. They naively believe in the state. They make the state their god. The article explains that this poll is the highest support for Stalin in the last 20 years. New posters and statues of Stalin are going up all around Russia. You can buy Stalin wall calendars, refrigerator magnets, and other memorabilia in Russian shops. One Russian newspaper carried the news with the headline, "Stalin the Superstar." So what happens in a country when the greedy and the envious, the ungodly, hit a critical mass? When they become the majority in the electorate, well, then you get events like the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia in 1917. You get the Night of the Long Knives in 1934. You get the French Revolution, 1789. You get the Cuban Revolution, 1958. And it doesn't end well. The only thing stopping evil at this point is the salt and light of the Christian message, the teaching of biblical truth. Let me conclude with a word for the Christian. The world will always do what the world does, but Christians should never fall for the lie of communism. Men like Bernie Sanders are false teachers. They are the grumblers and the fault finders of Jude 16, those who follow their own desires and speak arrogantly. These are the people who destroy men's lives and destroy nations. Christians, on the other hand, are called to oppose and fight that ungodly spirit and ideology. Ephesians chapter 5, "But immorality and impurity or greed must not even be named among you as is proper among saints." 1 Timothy 6:10, "For the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." Here's what Christians ought to do. Work hard. Get for yourself two old cars. Buy a small, modest home like this one. Live way below your means. Flee from materialism. That Marxist dialectic materialism where life is all about the have and the have-nots. 1 Thessalonians 4:11, "Make it your own ambition to lead a quiet life, to attend to your own business, and to work with your hands just as we commanded you, and be thankful." And we need to be refuting this socialism, communism, because it is a false gospel. It is one of those false gospels that Paul spoke against in Galatians chapter 1, verse 8. "But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel, a good news, contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed." In a Gospel Coalition article by Robert S. Smith, professor at Sydney Missionary College, he wrote in a piece entitled "Cultural Marxism, Imaginary Conspiracy or Revolutionary Reality." Quote, "Marxism, whether in classical or cultural form, can be viewed as a corruption or parody of the gospel, replete with its own false prophet, Marx, false Bible, Das Kapital, false doctrine, dialectic materialism, false apostles, Lenin, Stalin, Mao, Marcos, and false hope, a communist utopia. Therefore, the fact that cultural Marxism is a real ideology making a real impact on our world is not good news. Here's a closing testimony. Friedrich Engels wrote the Communist Manifesto with Karl Marx. Friedrich Engels' father and mother were Lutheran Christians, but Friedrich rejected Christ and God's truth after he started reading the atheistic philosophies of Hegel at the university. Friedrich's mother tried to get him to turn from his ways and back to Christ. She wrote him the following in a letter. This often happens to people. They willingly blame other things for that which they are responsible. And she hit the nail right on the head. That is the mindset that drew Friedrich into communism. He blamed all of his own personal problems and the problems of the world on the owners, on the economic system. And he sought for deliverance by revolution. Rather than admitting his own sin problem, he thought the problem was the economic system. And Engels' mother concluded her letter to her son, "May God shine his light upon your heart so that you will know what will bring you peace." Her prayer for her son was, rather than finding peace in the false gospel, the false good news of communism, he would find peace in the only source of peace, the Lord Jesus Christ. As Jesus said to the Jews in his own day, who were seeking deliverance by political zealotry, "If you only knew the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes." Luke 19:42. We often forget that these communist leaders and their followers, these men who have destroyed nations and people's lives with their satanic ideology, have done so in direct opposition to a knowledge of God's word. They heard the truth, and they turned away from the truth. 2 Thessalonians 2:10, they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved, and so their house was left to them desolate. My prayer is that you will turn from the false gospel of socialism and turn to the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for making God and country a part of your discipleship in the Word. May Jesus Christ reign.